My name is John Wilson, and I'm glad to introduce this new concept to you. It first became evident to me about 3 years ago, and I'll be honest, I was as skeptic as anybody else was, and I basically said, we're doing what, how, where, that early in cotton. And then after 3 years of research now, we're actually into our fourth year of research. We've got to a point where we want to introduce it to the cotton group, the Beltline and so forth, and a lot of hard work and research. A lot of people in this room had a great part in that, and just these are just a few of the names at the top that we appreciate their efforts for. This database is very large. I think it's over 100 trials, and there's no way in the period of time that we have now that we can fairly give you cross-trial summaries of all that. So what we're going to do is give you a snapshot of what our goals were, what we learned in 05 and 06, what our proposed label will look like for this new use, and then our field program for 07. This is my bad artist rendition of what the concept looks like, as well as what our new logo looks like here. Managed maturity. Compliment the marketing people for their better artists than I am. But what we're doing here is basically we're trying to take out this early unproductive growth, or this late season unproductive growth that many of y'all face in cotton, and we're doing so by taking out that top 20% of the foliage without defoliating the whole plant. And we're doing that with AIM. Now, this is quite different than what you're used to, and I hesitate not to even use the word defoliation in this talk, because this is not a defoliation treatment. This is a managed maturity, early termination type of treatment that's done in an untraditional time at about 15% open bowl. So keep that in mind. What was our goals and targets? I'm going to try to go through this. This is one of the justifications that I wrote up to kind of, from my plant physiology background at Virginia Tech, that I thought I understood what was going on. So let me share with you, if I can, kind of the highlights of this statement. You can read along with me if you want. I'm going to try to catch up here with my notes real quickly. The bottom line here is what we're trying to do is remove some late season juvenile growth and those immature bowls. I've been in the cotton business, as y'all have, for a long time. I've actually worked in the Midwest, but coming back to the Cotton Belt for the last 5 years, everybody always says, gee, we just got another rain, that stuff's growing out the top. We all know it ain't going to make anything. I wish we could just mow the tops out of that cotton and get rid of that junk. And that's kind of saying it politely from some of the ways I've heard it described. But what we're trying to do is shut down that late season growth. And if you look there, the middle statement, it says a reduction of rank top growth. And what we're going to do is facilitate later on better defoliation, earlier harvest, and promoting a managed maturity type situation. What will the benefits be? Well, it could potentially be increased yields if we reallocate photosynthates, potential yield as well as quality differences, and removal of cotton fields that maybe insects would prefer, and they might go somewhere else. So with those kind of overall physiological statement, what we try to do in the project over the last 3 years was identify four things or five things that we want to measure. The first being, if I can find my mouse here. Oh my, let's go back. What is that? P? Arrow back up. Okay, very good. The first being we want to see if we could get a 1 to 2 week earlier harvest, improve the foliation through the measurements of the foliation, increase yields potentially increase lint quality, and also the reduction of insects. So those were the five things that we thought we could get maybe one or two hits on these five benefits. That would be a great value to the cotton producer. This is actually a field in Arkansas, and what managed maturity will do is it only eliminates the upper unproductive growth and immature leaves. We had a lot of universities and consultant people that said, what? You're kidding me. You know, you realize that if you, even a sublethal rate of AIM might defoliate that plant. And what you can see here is we actually split a row on your left-hand side and defoliate a half of that cotton plant. So what we're doing is only taking out the top 15 to 20% of the plant and that unproductive growth. That's probably as good a visual as any. So what happened in 05, a big protocol series or a limited protocol series, that's a more fair statement. And what we learned in 05 was, hey, it is about timing, it is about rates. We were looking at 0 and 20% open bowls, and we realized that we had something. We realized from the research that, wow, this is exciting, this is a new concept. And we figured the rates out to a certain degree. We figured the timing out. And because of the size of the database, we saw some positive yield responses, but we basically said no significant differences. And we took all this to quality measurements and we saw no effect on quality. 2006 rolls around, and what do? We expanded the rate range, we expanded the timing. We basically started to see that we were opening bowls up about 5 or 10% better, and we also noticed that we were doing an excellent job, good to excellent job, of controlling the terminals at about 63 to 82%, about 70 over the whole database now. And finally, the yield database, again, was somewhat small, but it was growing all the time, and we made no hard and fast conclusions about yield and lint, other than that we didn't see a negative response, and we felt the other benefits were enough to move forward. One final thing we did was we looked at some stink bug and bollworm and also fall armyworm trials in Arkansas, Georgia, and various other states. And we saw a slight trend that maybe if the insects were there at an economic threshold, that we could actually reduce a late season insecticide spray. More work needs to be done. So we finished up the 05 and 06 season, and we basically said, hey, two things we know. There's some places where we can spray, some places we can't spray. And this is my rough rendition of trying to be a marketing guy, which I'm not, but I felt like we needed some kind of cheat sheet that said, when do we spray, when don't we spray? So what we learned was that 3/8 of an ounce, the 0.006 pounds AI of carfentrazone, or AIM as it's called commercially, was the rate that we needed. And we also realized that about 15% open bowl was a very good place where we needed to be. We did have some leeway, but we did feel like there was a lot of other things that had to be answered: environmental conditions, what about irrigated, what about non-irrigated, what about dry land, what about West Texas. A lot of questions came up, and of course we have to have cotton that's actively growing. If the cotton is shut down, it's over with, it's done, there's no reason to even think about taking the tops out. This application would not be beneficial. And then we had the question mark of what about varieties? Is there any difference in varieties? So we tried to answer those as we went on in our database. Here's our proposed label that we will be submitting to EPA through notification, and should definitely have the we hope have registration for this particular use by the use season this year. It's I commented at FMC is probably the most proofread three paragraphs that we've ever had in our company. I can't believe all the emails that went into this exciting new use. But the bottom line is we're trying to remove undesirable top growth and reduce unproductivity of the terminal growth. The timing is at 0 to 20%, but the key timing, we think, is 15% open bowls. If you'll skip down there a little further, we also looked at this in Cotman models that Joe Reed will be telling in the next, Dr. Joe Reed will explain further in the next talk. We do think the target use rates is 3/8 of an ounce, which is the 0.006 pounds AI per acre. And of course, we want to use this with a crop oil concentrate. And it behooves me to say we've looked at other adjuvants, but we feel like these are the optimized results from our trials. Okay, the field program for 2007. Dr. Joe Reed is going to talk about the large-scale consultant trials and also about under-replicated trials, the Cotman validation trials. I'm going to spend a little bit of time in my last few minutes here and talk about the university program, the Lower Delta validation program, looking at some additional timings and what we learned about varieties. So the 07 program was all about fine-tuning the rates, applications, the Cotman model, geographical differences, and make sure that the consistency was there. I talked to some consultants that have been doing this with other products for longer than I've been alive. Dr. Paul Pilsner, I guess, he told me he's been doing this since 1959, and I made a comment to him that the only thing I worried about in 1959 was whether or not I had a wet diaper or not. I've not been in the business that long. But the comment is we were looking for consistency with AIM early termination or managed maturity. These are the university cooperators that we were working with, and you can see that we had some rate studies, some Cotman validation studies, as well as a Delta validation study and a variety validation study. Okay? Just real quickly, I'm going to go through this data. I apologize. I'm not going to explain all the lines, but really just highlight some of the trial results. The university protocol was, of course, to gain university exposure. All this to be done under secrecy for various reasons, to develop the story, make sure that it had validity. And this year we took it to the universities as well as the major consultants, or some of the major consultants. Obviously, we left some out. We apologize for any consultants that we may have left out, but we had to narrow down the scope of the program because of logistics. So what we did was we looked at the treatment number two. We looked at what we're now calling the middle rate or the optimized rate, plus or minus one treatment. There's a lot of data in our database, over 50 replicated trials now, and I just picked one. And that's not necessarily the best way to do it, but the across-trial summary data did not allow me to do anything other than that. So here's the trends that we saw in the data. If you will, if I can get my pointer working here, here we go. We look at this treatment right here. This is the 3/8 of an ounce, 0.006. And just as an untreated check, if you'll focus on the white lines, what we're doing is seeing about 20% desiccation of the plant, the upper top growth. We are also seeing about 70% reduction in terminal growth. We are seeing about 5 to 10% better open bowls, and the yield response and 70% of the cases, and you'll see this in Joe's talk, is usually very positive. In most cases, it's insignificant. Okay, lower delta validation program. One of the other things that, if I can get back on track here, there we go. Here's the protocol. What we try to do is look at different timings in the lower delta, a little longer season, 5, 15, 25, and 35% open bowls. So the data looks like this. Basically, if you'll focus on this line here and the untreated check, is what we're seeing again is that we're seeing some opening of the bowls through the, you know, compared to the untreated check. And of course, we're seeing a good yield response. I think we have 44 consultant trials reporting now with 35 pounds of lint yield increase, which was kind of a pleasant after result. Finally, one of the things that we did through the consultant trials, as well as through the university trials and the contract researchers, where we said, hey, go out there and split some fields. We don't necessarily have to be replicated. It was replicated in some cases and non-replicated. And we just said, let's make sure there's no variety out there with any one seed company that has an obscure or inconsistent result. So we have done that, and I'm still pulling data together. We had a replicated trial with Dr. Keith Edmonston and Tom Barber with no differences in their varieties, but probably some of the greatest weight that we had, that we're up to about 44 consultants reporting as of today and over 30 different varieties, and there's no significant differences in yield and in quality related to the application. So we have good peace, you might say, that there are no varietal differences, and that was part of the variety validation program this year. So finally, and this kind of goes across all trials, and I just really want to talk about the fact that it's a very successful program this year and years past. We had over 50 consultant trials with 21 different consultants. We had very good results. We're very excited about this application. I'm not going to speak to the second issue. I should have probably have just deleted that, but that is in place and secure now. Our rates will be 3/8 of an ounce, and we do have some leeway to go higher and lower, but I think you'll see even in California and other places that this 3/8 of an ounce is a very good place to be, even with Pima cotton in most cases. The Cotman model basically told us that nodes above white flower at 450 to 650 heat units is good. The lower data, lower delta data showed that we need to be at 15% open bowl, which is what our database had shown all along. And finally, we had no varietal differences across locations. So that concludes my presentation. And questions or not questions? Yeah. Are there any questions? Maybe I can take one. It looks like I have a minute left. Yes, sir. That is an excellent question, and my hypothesis here is that we're using a sublethal rate, and we're only using a crop oil, which is tending to make it stay in the upper foliage. It's a young, tender, lush growth. I almost equate it to my days of Monsanto when we were using one rate to kill a weed with glyphosate and a sublethal rate to do chemical mowing and so forth with grasses. In a sense, we're doing that with carfentrazone. We're using a sublethal rate, and we're targeting through our application just a young, tender growth. So I don't think, unlike a defoliation treatment, we're trying to get good coverage. We're essentially trying to get poor coverage in the top, and that's taking out the lush growth at the very top of the plant. And I think there's probably a lot of plant physiologists who will investigate this in the future and probably give you a better answer than what I did. But I certainly have, in the trials that I have seen, that's what I'm seeing. It's a very consistent approach of taking the lush growth out. That's my time, I guess. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.